Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio. I am filling in for Caroline tonight. So my name is Marie Bernard. I normally host Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver on Mondays at noon. But I'm here tonight after 10 o'clock. I'm super excited to be talking with our guest tonight. She is a sex educator, a dating expert. She's the author of 101 First Dates, and she actually went on more than 101 first dates, believe it or not, before she met her guy. And her name is Wendy Newman. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Thank you for having me, Marie. It's so nice to be on a sexy show.
Sexy. Ooh, oops, hang on a second. I've got... There, an ad just started playing without... My knowing. Okay, so back to the show. Yeah, I'm a total night person, and I always have to watch my mouth during the day, so I'm happy that we get to spice it up a little bit and talk about sex tonight.
All right.
So now this is a whole new audience. Could you give us a little bit of background on this whole 101 first dates thing?
Sure. About, I'd say 12 years ago, I left a long-term marriage, and the work that I was doing was just starting to work with a company that let me help women understand men better and themselves better. And I thought, well, this is perfect. Right as I'm ending my marriage, I'm going to roll into this company where it's all about communication and understanding men better and understanding myself better. I'm going to have a new husband right away. It's going to go so quick. And little did I know, it would take me over a decade of dating and 120 first dates before I met my partner, Dave. So it's true, I went on 120 first dates, and then obviously many, 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 many more second and third and fourth and mini trial periods with people, men. And yeah, here I am all of these years later, a dating expert. Nobody wants to be a dating expert, but by trial and error, I am one.
Well, are you, I'm curious, I'm sure in that 10 years you were looking, it was like, when am I going to find him? Are you glad that it took you this long to find him?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I would do another 120 to get to him. Absolutely.
Aww. And he's super helpful because I'm always texting you questions on Facebook to ask him. So, Wendy, can you tell us, now you teach with PAX, which is an organization created by Alison Armstrong, and it used to be called Celebrating Men and Sex, right?
Yes.
And it changed.
Now it's called Queen's Code for Sex, but it's still the same workshop. We teach women all about sex, what women are afraid to ask, what women are timid about asking, and I help women understand how our instincts work, because there are things that happen to us along the way that what happens is we have a not great experience, and then we'll add shame or blame or embarrassment to the situation that you didn't even like in the first place. So I help clear and heal a lot of that out and then work with the funner topics too.
Cool. So
we get very graphic, which is why I got timid in that moment. This is radio, so I'll keep it clean, but I'll go everywhere in the workshop that needs to. I'll go anywhere the women need me to go.
Cool. All right. Well, I also, let's talk a little bit about your workshop, Dating 101, because that's separate from the sex workshop.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
I created Dating 101, not as a beginner course. I did it based on the experience of 101 first dates, which then, you know, I put that name out, 101, when I was on date number 70-something. I didn't know really how many I'd have to go on or if I'd ever end when I started the brand. So we're still looking at that now. We're going to change it or what? But 101, my Dating 101 is really all about helping women be efficient with their time, taking really good care of their heart, because we will spend our time, energy, and attention on things that sometimes we shouldn't. And so it's all about being efficient and all about being a graceful dater who can have an easier time at it. I help them cut through a lot of the crap.
And so it sounds like, I have no idea how many listeners are male or how many are female here, but do you do anything to help men other than get them have more sex?
Yeah, I do a lot of things for men, trust me. I make men's lives so much better with the work that I do with women. But when a man wants to work with me one-on-one or find out what I have to offer, yeah, I do work with men, and how I work with them is by coaching them one-on-one. I don't have any programs for them, but I will work with them one-on-one over a telephone coaching session.
Okay, so I'll just put your website out there. It's wendyspeaks.com if you want more information on her book or her programs or working with her at all. So we were going to talk about, oh, also, if you are listening live and you have Twitter, you can tweet a question, hashtag sexyinvancity, and I will try to get to it if we have time. That's hashtag sexyinvancity. And you can also listen to this. I'm going to post it on YouTube. So it'll be youtube.com/spiritualshow. So Wendy, we were going to talk about when is the right time for a woman to want to start sleeping with the guy she's dating.
Oh, I love that we're going to start there because that's one of women's favorite questions. When is the exact right time to sleep with him for the first time so it turns into a relationship? And I've asked men this question on panels and in person, and most of the men don't think it's a real question. Is this a real question? Is this question worded right? It doesn't make sense to them because for most men, when to sleep with a woman for the first time has very little or nothing to do with will this be a relationship or not. But for women, we think it has everything to do. You know, if we time it just right, if we plan and strategically maneuver it in such a right way on the right day at the right time, not too soon, because then you'll be trampy, but not too late, because then you'll either be frigid or you'll miss the opportunity of sleeping with him, and then he won't know how amazing you are, which would have landed you the guy. Right? You had to time it just right, not too soon, not too late. But if you do time it just right, then the relationship will turn out. We think that, or at least our instincts think that. And yeah, it's just not like that for men. Men are really weird. They think sex is a fun thing to do with someone they like, and they don't have all that mental meaning around it the way that we do. And I want to tell you about a study I did because it kept coming up over and over and over. And married people, well, they did it right because it turned out for them they're married. And so obviously they must have timed it right, especially if they're happily married. So I took a survey. I used SurveyMonkey, and then I asked the people, my friends through Facebook, to please, please, please send it out to all different people that had nothing to do with me, because I didn't want the results to be skewed. I didn't want it to land on the too trampy side. So I had one friend send it, all her Mormon friends. So hopefully it got, you know, a lot of balance in there. And I wanted to know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy they were and when they had sex for the first time, obviously before they got married, right? And so if somebody answered the survey and their happiness in their marriage was under a 7, they were automatically disqualified. So out of 100 people I surveyed, 100 people who were happily married, scale of 1 to 10, they were either 7 or higher, 20% of them had sex on the first date.
Wow.
By the third date, 35%. By the 10th date, 72%. And then if you want to look at it in terms of months,
Wendy?
By 1 month in, 61%. And it just goes to show that the timing should be organic for the people. I mean, it sounds like I'm advocating sex on a first date, and some people might love that, and some people might be horrified by that. But I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating for people to do what's organic and natural for the two of them instead of try to work off some game or strategy that some book author is trying to sell a million books by having the right answer to. We don't have the right answer. You have the right answer. You and him or you and her have the right answer, not some person selling a book.
Sorry, I was trying to interrupt you while you were talking because you cut out for a minute while you were, I think it was at 10 dates. What was the percentage there?
Ah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
10 dates was 72%.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I was just sort of like, oh, okay, I can hear you. So, well, if it doesn't necessarily matter the timing in when you sleep together, what about, because you could sleep with someone on the first date, you could sleep with someone on the 20th date, and then they bail on you the next day, and you're devastated.
Yep. That could happen.
So what do you do about that then?
You heal yourself the best you can. The bad news, there really is no magical answer to this. There's no guarantee. And one of the things that men have consistently told me over and over is that why the relationship didn't turn out had much more to do with when we had sex. Now, if someone is going to have sex and then disappear because that's all they wanted in the first place, that's another story. And there's the best thing anyone can do to avoid that is to date somebody long enough so that they can see that their actions meet their words. But you have no guarantees. There's no guarantee about this. And if that happens to you, I'm really sorry that happened to you. But, you know, life is messy, and we can't prevent all of that from happening all the time.
So, Wendy, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I thought you said, okay, so whether if they're happy in a marriage, it didn't really matter that much when they slept together. But it sounds like you also said that if they were unhappy, it did matter.
I disqualified the unhappy from the study, so I don't know.
Okay.
I only studied people who were happy.
Okay. Actually, I know a few people who slept together really, really early on, like first date, first meeting, not even having a date yet, met at a party and slept together that night, and they're married and have kids and happily everything is going well. But maybe we can talk a little bit about what happens to women and what happens to men, or maybe we can talk about the masculine and the feminine, because I know estrogen and testosterone are really the main factors. So what happens?
What can happen for a woman is a bit of a freak out a little bit, because what happens with having sex for the first time is you're going to have this rush of oxytocin. You're going to be bonded to him. You're going to be more bonded than maybe you wanted to be. And for the most part, a lot of women will want to be his girlfriend, even if she hadn't set out to be that before they had sex, because of the oxytocin rush and the dopamine will have that bonding take effect. So one of the things that women want to watch for if they're trying to sort out if they're going to sleep with a man is, are you ready to be his girlfriend? Because oxytocin will make you nutty and want you to be that. And do you have the things that you need to not be at the next day? Are you going to spend the day with him the next day if he's going to take off, or you're going to take off early in the morning? Can you set up to make sure you have a call with him so you can feel the connection you need to not feel that abandon and disconnect?
Awesome.
And one of the things that is tricky for women is once we've had sex, we feel like we've played our card. We played our chip, the valuable chip. He wants it. We've got it. Once we give it over, we don't have any power left. And this is all driven by instinct, but it's not true. That's gross. It doesn't occur to them like a bargaining chip. That's kind of gross. But that's instinctually, that's a bit how we're wired. It's how it feels.
All right. Well, it is time for a break. We will be back with more Sexy in Van City right here on CITR in just a moment. I am filling in for Caroline. My name is Marie Bernard. I normally host Synchronicities on Mondays at noon. And you can also hear this episode as well as past episodes that I've hosted at youtube.com/spiritualshow. If you have a question for Wendy, then you can, and you're on Twitter, you can use hashtag SexyInVanCity, and I will do my very best to pass that on to her and ask on the air. So we're speaking right now with Wendy Newman, and you can find her at wendyspeaks.com. We'll be back with more Sexy in Van City in a moment.
In 2004, Frank Warren handed out 3,000 self-addressed postcards to strangers, prompting them to share their secrets. These postcards were collected on his blog, and now Post Secret has become a collaborative movement for millions of unheard voices. This January, Vancouver artists TJ Daw, Khalil Ashanti, and Justin Suds will help bring Post Secret to life as a visual auditory journey through the emotions of our inner life. With music from Mario Vaira and multimedia projection, Post Secret makes its Canadian premiere from January 20th to February 7th at the Firehall Center in downtown Vancouver. For pricing, showtimes, and more information about Post Secret, the show, please visit firehallartcenter.ca.
See the lightning flashing, thunderstorm.
Thank you for stopping that. If you actually want to learn more about weather, join the UBC Storm Club. For more information, email us at stormubc@gmail.com. Stop playing those cheesy songs and tune into News 101 Mondays and Fridays for your CITR weather forecast.
Unearthing the depths of contemporary cassettes and vinyl underground, ranging from DIY bedroom pop and garage rock all the way to harsh noise and, of course, drone. Pop Drone, every Wednesday at 10 to 11:30 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
My advice to young girls would be, go home after school.
Welcome back to Sexy in Van City. I'm the fill-in host, Marie Bernard. Caroline is not here tonight. And right now we are speaking with Wendy Newman. She is a sex educator, dating expert. She teaches communication, sex, a lot of different stuff. And you can find her at wendyspeaks.com. Welcome back to the show, Wendy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Yay. I just, before it falls out of my brain, what do you think of phone sex?
I think that would be really fun.
I'm not inviting you to have phone sex with me right now, but I'm just wondering because I was talking to someone the other night and we were getting a little bit sexy and he was like, oh, you're into phone sex. And I'm like, well, I wasn't making an invitation, but it just kind of seemed weird that he wasn't.
Oh, yeah, I know a woman once, her name is Wendy, who dated somebody that lived in a different country. So it could happen if you live far away, why not? And in general, I look at it this way. If you're on the phone with somebody that you like, that you want to have sex with, and you're talking about sex or you're talking about sexy things, you're having phone sex. And one of my favorite things about phone sex is you can put in things you need in a phone call. And if you're talking about sex, they think that they're having phone sex and you're able to get some of your needs met at the same time. It's like a double whammy,
Interesting.
Double bonus, I guess.
Okay. Can you say more about that? Like slipping in, like, can you give us an example? It's after 10.
Sure.
So as long as you're not vulgar, we're okay.
Okay, baby, we had the best time last night. Thank you so much for coming over. Oh, I'm still thinking about what happened, and I don't know what was going on with the thing and the deal and place. Oh, so amazing. I have a question for you. Hey, the next time you come, do you mind if you trim your fingernails? Yeah, okay. Okay, good. So anyway, back to last night. Oh, my God. So what you did? Whew. Just slip it right in there, right in the middle.
Oh, I like that.
Right in the middle of appreciation. An appreciation sandwich.
A sexy appreciation sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we before I got on the phone sex train, we were talking about times to have sex and the way that often many women will become very chemically bonded to a man that they sleep with. And so you were saying how you kind of have to be prepared in advance before you sleep with someone for how you're going to feel the next day.
Yeah, and one of the things that I want to say is we're both bonded. The problem is the oxytocin rush that we have, it stays in a woman's body for much longer than it stays in a man. So testosterone negates the oxytocin, and it clears it out of the system very quickly, 30 minutes, and a couple of hours, and it has run its course through his system. So he'll be bonded for anywhere from 30 minutes to a day, depending on how much testosterone he has. And for a woman, it can last weeks. And for a man, I've interviewed a lot of men about this, and their experience is a different experience of bonding than a woman's. For men, it's yummy. It's delightful. It's connective. And for us, it makes us a little nutty. It makes us clock watchers and waiting for the text, watching our phones, and that he becomes way more amazing than he might really be. And the opportunity of losing him feels 100 times stronger. So one of the questions I get from women is, when is the right time to sleep with him for the first time in order to have it be a relationship? And then later on, the second question is, oopsie daisy, I slept with him before I meant to. How do I backpedal out of this? Which, there's no takesy-backsies after that. You just got to keep breathing through it and remember that while you're feeling a loss of power, men aren't experiencing the opposite of that. They're not feeling like they got to grab a great source of your power. They don't experience that. They just feel more bonded and connected to you because they got to go deeper with you. So don't be weird. That's my takeaway.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm curious. So now I know Alison Armstrong, who I guess, is she your boss?
Yeah.
Okay, so Alison Armstrong's your boss. And what she teaches in one of her courses, I think it's In Sync with the Opposite Sex, which is an audio course. She talks about not necessarily going after someone you're super hot for.
Mm-hmm. She does say that.
What's your opinion on that?
We disagree a little bit about that. There are parts of what she says that I agree with and parts that I disagree with. And I can talk about both, and I'm fine with that. She's fine with me having an opinion of my own, and she's pretty happy that I have an opinion of my own, actually. It's one of the things she loves about me that I'll say, no, Allison, wait, what about this? So she is very much encouraging women to, if you're feeling on a scale of 1 to 10 that he's your 10, that you should run. You should run the other direction because you're never going to have the chance of being yourself with him. You're going to say anything to get him. You will contort yourself to become someone that you think he might want. And being yourself is the last thing that you would consider being. So authenticity out the window. And men love authenticity. So your authenticity out the window, he's not ever going to get to see the real you. He's probably not going to like you that much because he's going to see some weird version of you. And I believe that to be true also. If he's a 10, I don't necessarily think you have to run because, I don't know, I'm of the school of there's no judgment here. If you want to tap that, that's your business. What you want to remember, though, is he's probably not going to become your husband. It could happen, but it's probably not going to happen because you're going to have a really hard time setting boundaries and being yourself. What she recommends is that women date men that they would consider a 6 or a 7, where there's some attraction, but not heavy attraction, because then he can grow on you and you can have this really great relationship where you both know each other, you're able to set boundaries, you're able to completely express yourself. It actually answers the question that a lot of women have, why is it that the men that I'm not attracted to are in love with me? And the ones that I really want don't love me back. I just explained why. Because the one you really want, he doesn't get to see the real you. The one that, you don't have much to lose, yeah, he gets to see all of you, the whole fully self-expressed you. And that's charming. That's enchanting. So there are those elements that Allison and I agree on, but I think chemistry is very important. And I have seen woman after woman try to have him grow on her, and there just was never enough there. And then what happens is she says yes to a man that she's not all that attracted to, or she just doesn't have that much going on with, and he's crazy about her, and she thinks he'll grow on her. And all of her friends are saying, ooh, but he treats you like a queen. He's so amazing. You should keep him. So she'll feel pressure from her friends. She'll feel pressure from herself because she doesn't want to turn away a good guy. And she'll feel the pressure of how much he cares for her. That will also feel like pressure. So she'll have all this pressure to stay and be, not that into him. And that's no good for anybody. A man doesn't want that. And that's no good for her. And in 4 years, 4 months, 4 years, she's going to break up with him anyway. And we've now wasted a lot of time for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot of that. I don't recommend that. I actually, I've been with my partner for 2 years, and I'm sorry, but the minute I met him, heavy, heavy chemistry.
Really?
He came up behind me, and I saw this tall, dark, and handsome man whisper in my ear, I would recognize you anywhere, with a really deep voice. And when I turned, he was so handsome. I was had.
Wow.
That is... chemistry worked out fine.
Well, I got to say,
I could be myself with him.
I got to say, coming up behind you and whispering in your ear, that's a pretty good, I don't know if you want to call it a technique, but... I think that's a good way to kind of create some chemistry right there.
Not bad for a guy who hadn't been on a first date in 24 years, right?
Wow.
Pretty good move.
So you kind of answered my question a little bit, because I wanted to ask you, how much passion do you need? Now, we've been talking on Facebook a little bit about a friend of mine that's sort of, both of us are kind of into each other, and we've had a conversation, and we're on the fence about whether it's worth risking the relationship, our friendship over. And he's taken some time to think, and I'm kind of in this position where if he was that passionate about me, I think he would know sooner. And so that's just an example. But in general, how much... Because you can have chemistry with someone and not necessarily see a future with them, or you could see a future with someone without necessarily having much passion. So where do you draw the line?
Well, that's going to be different for everybody. And for me, I need it. But I'm the lady who gets in front of 200 women on a stage and talks about sex for 2 days. So not everybody needs, likes, or is interested in sex as I am. I know a lot of people who are not that interested in sex, and they could get together and become engaged and then be married and be completely happy in a companion model that doesn't have heat, and that's fine for them. And I am not a person to judge that as a wrong thing. That would be the right thing for them to do. Right? So it's just tricky to make sure that you've got somebody that you match with, that you're going to be able to get your needs met, if that's having sex once a year or having sex once a week or having sex once a day or some other level, right? It's going to be on the people involved to make that decision. Hmm. So how much passion do you need? And remember, passion, actual passion, chemistry is going to fade. You know, nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about that. We're looking for that hot, heavy chemistry, and people get married because of hot, heavy chemistry. But what people don't ever pay attention to is within the first 6 months to 2 years, it's going to naturally dissipate, and it's your job to be on it, you know, to be creating it, to decide to create tension. You actually have to do something about it. It just doesn't stick around.
Well, I can imagine that people listening to this show Sexy in Van City are probably fans of sex. That's my guess.
Probably. So,
if you're not, that's okay, but I'm assuming you are. I'm a fan of sex. So what are some of the things that we can do? And I'm also making a big assumption that you teach this in your sexuality course. What are some of the things that we can do to keep that sexual tension alive 10, 20, 30 years down the road?
Well, there's different things that you can do. There's ways in which you can initiate that isn't as difficult as us women can make it. And it has a lot to do with being flirty and having the energy to be a little temptressy, a little playful, but not necessarily like, you know, like grabbing him and throwing him down and all that. You don't have to work that hard. You want to be a sexy, flirty invitation. But one of the things that we need and crave in a long-term partner is we crave and need the home and the comfort and the hearth and the predictability. We need that. We love that stability. But as a human, we also need newness and creativity and adventure. And it's hard to get that from the same person. So you need to make deals going into the relationship how you can create that newness together so it works for you, so it works for both of you. And how you keep a relationship fresh is the newness. And it could be as much as he goes on a business vacation or business trip, and when he gets back, you're a different person. What happened to you while he was gone? What new stories, what new adventures? When you take on a different workshop or if you take on a new hobby that he's not involved in or that she's not involved in, now you're going to have newness. You're going to be a different person than you were. And you want to keep bringing that new piece of you to that older relationship. And one of the things that keeps the freshness alive in a long-term relationship is be spontaneous. Do something different in the area of sex. And if you're very conservative and you only have sex in the bedroom, wow, maybe you have sex in the kitchen or in the car, but, you know, in the garage. Be safe, people. Don't be doing anything crazy out there on the roads. But women can tend to think, oh, now I have to be swinging from the chandeliers 7 days a week. No, no, no. Men can live off the memory of an incident that is new for a long period of time. I have an old friend of mine, an old dear lover friend of mine, who still 7 years later talks about that one time we.
Wow.
Remember that one time we? Yes, I do remember that one time we. So 7 years later, still talking about that one time we. So they will live off the kernels of the memory of something new. That's why vacation sex is so amazing, because you're in a new surrounding.
You're not going to tell us that one time thing, are you?
It had to do with a public building.
Oh, good fun, good fun. Well, that brings up another question, Wendy, because I was having a conversation about sex fairly recently, and it was about, oh, well, what do you like, and do you like to do this, and do you like to do that, and which is great. I mean, novelty is wonderful, but it sounded like he was kind of looking to spice things up right away and all the time. And I'm kind of the attitude. I mean, I'm pretty open-minded and definitely good giving and game. But if just regular old sex with me is not exciting enough for you, then you probably need to find someone else. What's your opinion on that?
Well, again, that's going to be in the eye of the beholder. Do you need sex every day? Do you need it once a week? Do you need it once a month? Do you need it once a year? Do you like to have sex in missionary position and maybe two others for the rest of your life? My friend Dan Savage says that's really kinky. Having sex in one position for your whole life, very kinky. So it just depends on what you think is enough for you. Now, I run with a crowd of people that have a whole box of ideas and fun things to do. And yeah, it just regular old vanilla sex would not be enough. would not be enough. And I highly recommend that those people match with those people and the other people match with the other people. And then there's the people in the middle who like to learn new things. Woohoo! Let's learn something new. Okay. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, maybe that.
Cool. Well, for me, it just sort of felt like, I mean, I'm open to trying fun things. I like to keep things spicy. But if it's every day we're having to try something new, I'm kind of thinking, well, are you in this for sex with me? Are you in this for the, I don't know. It just feels, it felt like a lot of work to me, to be honest. It was like, wow, that sounds exhausting.
Yeah, it might have been the newness of the relationship, or it might have just been what that person needed. It's hard to know. It didn't seem like a match for you, for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, before I forget, let's talk about you actually. Now, you do the Dating 101 workshop regularly throughout the year, but tomorrow you are starting a brand new workshop, and if you are listening live, Wendy is going to offer you a special deal, right?
Yeah, I am. It's for single women. It's an 8-week course. It starts tomorrow. It's on Thursdays. And if you have to miss a call, I record them all so you can catch up right away. And it's 8 weeks long, and I'm running a special because it's sort of last minute and I have some spots left, that if you register for the class, you can bring a girlfriend for free. And that also comes with a 40-minute coaching session, and you just have to let me know if you're keeping all 40 minutes to yourself or if you want to split that coaching session, that private one-on-one, 20 minutes with you and 20 minutes with your girlfriend. So that's the deal that I'm running now, and all you need to do is just register through the website. It won't say that anywhere on there. On the website, it will not say anything about bring a girlfriend because I'm not publicly doing it except for here and in a couple other places, so it's not online. But just go ahead and register and put in the How Did You Hear About Us box, put in her name, and just right next to that, write, bringing my friend Sally Smith or whatever.
And
it's 8 weeks long. I give you everything you ever needed for how to keep yourself in really great shape. The number 4 of the 8 calls, number 4 is all about sex, friends with benefits, all kinds of how to tell a man anything, any sex question any woman ever had gets answered on that call. And we go all over the place, online dating. We do everything.
Cool. I know you're a fan. Oh, and the website.
Website is wendyspeaks.com. Like a dog. Woof, Wendy Speaks. And wendyspeaks.com, and then just click on the workshops tab for 101 dates.
Perfect. So you can bring a friend to that, and it starts tomorrow. And
if
you're listening at another time, like on YouTube or podcast or whatever, there's probably a workshop coming up, but you just won't necessarily get that deal.
Exactly.
Just so you're not disappointed. But if you're listening live, you can sign up and get the deal. Bring a friend. Yay.
Yep. So the class starts in January 15.
Perfect. So I have a couple more questions, but I'm just wondering, because I just love talking to you and you're so brilliant. I'm just wondering if there's any direction that you want to take this in.
Oh, let's see. We talked about phone sex and keeping it fresh. No, go ahead and give me a question. I love questions.
Okay. I wrote this out, so I try to be succinct. I think internet porn is damaging to relationships, is addictive, and can cause men to have difficulty fully enjoying a real live woman. But what, if anything, do you teach about pornography in your courses about sex and dating?
Oh, Marie, that's an hour-long conversation right now that's going to upset many of your listeners.
Really?
All right. I disagree. I think that porn can be an addiction, and I'm not going to speak to the addict. I'll speak to the mainstream garden variety. Everyone's over 18. There are no children or animals or harm being done. Okay, just garden variety porn. I would like women to consider that porn could be the best friend to monogamy. If your man has promised or your woman has promised to only be with you for the rest of your life, that humans need newness and variety, that could be the safe way to protect that relationship from any infidelity. And it's not something that men want access to. He doesn't want the lady in Hustler magazine. He, unless you're living in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley, right? He's not your neighbor. She's not your neighbor. She's not the mom at your kid's school. She's not a threat to you. He's not going to leave you and drive down to LA to find her. And one of the things that makes us so upset about it is the women are very attractive. I'm not even going to get into the industry and what it does to women and the disenfranchisement. I'm not going to talk about that. But I will talk about that they're beautiful women usually. You usually don't see frumpy, dumpy women in porn. Their design, their job, is to be very attractive. And your instinct is furious that they may out-attract you, that he might like her better. Why it's upsetting for us. But we read porn. A lot of women read porn. It's called pulp fiction, romance novels, Anne Rice, vampire porn. Are you cheating when you're reading vampire porn? When you're reading The Clan of the Cave Bear by Jean Owl, are you cheating with your cave porn? Theirs has pictures. Yours has words. I have a lot to say about porn, and a lot of people are going to be really irritated with me by the time I'm done. So sorry about that, people.
Well, I don't know about listeners of Sexy and Van City might be totally okay with porn. I really don't know. I mean, I'm not making a moral judgment or anything. I just hear about these guys who can't get off with real women anymore because she's got cellulite on her thighs and the girl in the Playboy movie doesn't. And that's what he's used to. Like, you hear about this.
I think that that's what a lot of women might think, and I would like women to consider that men don't see their cellulite. I know that's a shocking statement to say, but when he's having sex with you, he is with you in that moment, and he is single-focused on this super amazing, beautiful, fun act. And his focus is going to be on what's feeding him, what's delicious about you, how it feels, how you taste, what you look like. And anything that is unattractive is screened out, doesn't even hit his radar. All right, I have to tell you a story.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
You ready?
Wait, one second. I just realized I didn't give any kind of disclaimer for this show. Listener discretion is advised. So I apologize if we've offended anyone. I know it is after 10 o'clock, so it's okay. But I should warn you, listener discretion is advised. We're talking about sexuality on the show. Okay, go ahead, Wendy.
All right, I'm about to tell everybody a really embarrassing sex story. Here I go. So I was having sex with someone that I cared very much about, and I was in what I like to call the sandwich press position, or you could also call it the waffle maker position, where I'm on my back, and my legs are up in the air, and they're pushing back towards my stomach, and my ankles are resting on his shoulders. So think of missionary, only my ankles are being supported by his shoulders. Got it? And I call it the waffle maker position because when one puts their whole body flat on a bed and then flips their leg up, it pushes all of the fat from the stomach off the sides. Very unflattering position, especially for my body type. I carry all of my weight in my stomach. And his head is looking directly down at where all the fat would be smashed out. It's a fun position. It's a great position. So I was having this lovely time in this great position, completely horrified because the lights were on and his face was right there and he could see everything. And at the end, I said, oh my God, that was so great, even though that is the most unflattering position in the whole world. To which his head spun around. His face screwed up. He couldn't even believe that I would say that. He went eye to eye and said, my love, there is no such thing as an unflattering position with you. That's who men are. They don't see your cellulite. They don't see the thing that you're afraid they're going to see in the light. And if they do, they've taken it on as part of your beauty. If they actually would be offended by it, they're not going to see it in that moment. And if they're not offended by it, which, by the way, if you're sleeping with someone who's offended by a part of your body, you should think twice, but that's a whole different story. But yeah, if he sees it, he's taking that in as pure beauty to him. What would your life be like if you could live in a world where you knew when you were being made love to, all he saw was your beauty? That's where I live. It's pretty amazing.
Okay. I'm not going to say I don't believe that. But if that is true, then why is it that my male friends regularly report to me about how hot a woman's body is, or say she's crazy as hell, but she's got the hottest body I've ever seen, so I'm sleeping with her? Obviously, the way you look does matter.
Yes. And there are men who are sleeping with women with imperfect bodies who they think they have a hot body. Look, I'm a large woman. I am a size 16. My man thinks my body, and with not an hourglass shape, got an apple shape, my man thinks my body is hot. I recommend not being with a man if he doesn't think your body is hot, because it's heaven on earth when you're with somebody who thinks that your body is great, just as it is. So yeah, there are men who sleep with hot women, and there are men who sleep with women who are what other people would consider flawed or less than hot. But, you know, our culture has a very limited ability to see the diversity in shape. So there's that.
Well, that brings up another question then. I mean, obviously a guy isn't necessarily going to sleep with someone he's totally unattracted to. Or anyone for that matter. But what if a person has expressed their type to you and it's nothing like you, like they want someone thin and you're heavy, or they like a chubby girl and you're bone skinny and have no boobs? How do you, I mean, should you just not be with them even if they express interest?
That's a deal breaker for me. That's for sure a deal breaker for me. And again, it goes back to what's your motivation and how important is that to you in a partnership. But like I said, for me, I discovered what heaven on earth is, and that's being able to crawl in the arms of a man who can look at my body and see how beautiful it is, and so I can stop listening to that crazy voice, inner critic, crazy lady in my head who only wants to talk about its imperfection and flaw. I would much rather see my body through his eyes than through my inner critics. And it's worth it to me to keep sorting. That's why I went on 121 first dates. I had a lot of men who said, I really like you. I love your personality. You're amazing. You're not my type, and I want to try. No, I'm not signing up for that. And some people do, and that's fine if it works for them. It's great. I wasn't willing.
Okay.
And luckily men all have different types, right? There's some preferred types in our culture, for sure. There's the preferred hourglass skinny girl. But that's not the only one. It's not the only type.
All right. Well, I think we've talked about this before on Synchronicity, not this exact thing, but how men can like different types. Like, I went out with a guy who his girlfriend before me was Asian and looked totally different, had a totally different body type, but he was into me. So how do you know? Because if a guy's told you his type, you're going to assume that maybe that's his only type.
Or at least I do want to just ask if you're his type.
Okay.
I mean, get to the point. That's what you really want to know. You want to ask. I learned this the very hard way. After my marriage, I had a boyfriend for a year, and we both lived in this very small town. And I knew his ex-wife, and his ex-wife was about 92 pounds, very teeny tiny, tiny, Italian, short dark hair, short brown eyes, very small. I was a good almost 2.5 times size. I was double her size and more at the time. Long red hair to the middle of my back and green eyes. Looked nothing like this woman. Nothing. And I said, so who's your type? Me or Nina? And he said, both. Wait, what? How is that even possible? He said, you guys are a lot alike. I see my type in both of you. Now, I knew this woman. She wasn't anything like me. Her personality, her mannerisms, her looks, her face structure, her body type. I did not see it. He did. So it's not for us women to judge, because we have very narrow types. We have long and lean and beautiful bodacious redhead and, you know, curvy, slim brunette. We have these stereotypes or archetypes in our head, and we think, oh, well, that's his type. Oh, he likes brunettes. No, you'd have to check with the man. When I asked Dave what his type was, he said, my type is sexy. And we've spent time looking at women's bodies to see what's his type, and it actually has very little to do with shape. It has to do with her spirit and how she moves, and is she sexy? Is she sexual? Does she give off that vibe of yum? Or is she aloof? And she might be really beautiful, and she might have a perfect body, but ugh. Yeah, no. His body type has very different shapes and sizes.
Hmm.
Pears, apples, skinny, tall, short. They all got to be sexy, though.
Interesting.
Every man is different.
I don't know. I still... I kind of feel like if someone is... If they say, oh, you know, Cindy Crawford is my type. But I like you because I like boobs. Well, then I think, well, then you don't like the rest of me. You just like my boobs. And therefore, I can't be with you. That's my opinion.
Okay. You can have your opinion, and you'll have a limited amount of experiences with people who might actually love all of you.
But if all they're interested in is my boobs, and that's all they ever talk about...
Well, that's obnoxious.
Or I say, like, and the thing is, okay, I have a question. I don't know.
Although you do have magnificent boobs.
I do. They're fabulous. They're fabulous. But
they are. I mean, you can't help it. You've got a gift.
One thing that keeps coming up. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. One thing that keeps coming up for me is men compliment my hands. And if it was just what, like, I don't know, like, this has happened. Like a guy I was with used to say, oh, your hands, you have these doll hands. They're so cute. And then some other guy who was very kind of a jerk, but he was complimenting me on my hands. And I thought maybe he was trying to not compliment me on anything else. But then another guy has mentioned my hands too. And I'm like, what is it about hands? Like, who cares about hands? Apparently some guys do.
Well, they're basically just trying not to comment on your boobs because everybody else does. It's a strategy.
No, he mentioned
your hands
my boobs.
Are feminine. If they're beautiful and delicate, that's femininity to them. So that's all that is. Or he has a hand fetish. That could be it too.
Okay. But no, this last one mentioned my hands and my smile and my boobs. So he wasn't shy about
Excellent.
Mentioning my boobs, but there was my hands too. It was just weird. Okay.
You want to think body as a vase. And your spirit as flowers. And sometimes men are commenting on the object, which is obnoxious, right? Nice boobs, nice tits. It's obnoxious. We want them to see the whole piece. We want them to experience our essence and our smarts and our spirit. We want them to compliment the whole vase and flower arrangement, not just the vase. And if he's walking down the street, he's going to have limited access to you. You're walking in opposite directions. You're walking towards each other. He's passing you. He smiles. He doesn't have access to your spirit other than what he can see out of your eyes and your smile. But he does have access to see how great of a butt you have. We might consider that that's not, unless they're saying, hey, lady, nice ass, which is can be offensive. That's one thing. But if a man's just politely appreciating that, you might consider it a compliment. I mean, maybe he wants to know your whole spirit, too, but there's just not enough time in that 27-second interaction as you stroll past each other. I think women have the right to be offended when men are in our space and being obnoxious, when we're being catcalled, when we're being commented on, when men are in our face, when it's scary, when it's annoying. That's not good. But when a man is just in his own space, not in your space, politely observing your beauty, hey, yeah. Because our bodies are worthy of obsession. So if they're going to take a moment to notice how hot we are, you're welcome. What?
I'm still thinking all he wants is my boobs. That's what I'm thinking. Obviously, that's my issue.
Well, parts of what he wants.
Pardon?
That would be part of what he wants. I am totally fine with my man wanting my body. Totally fine with that. That's A-okay with me that he wants my body. It's not a bad thing. I actually was married to somebody for 12 years who did not want my body. It's devastating, crushing to the spirit. That's why my marriage ended. He loved me madly. Not interested in having sex. Did not want my body. Never do that again. Whoopsie. And when I met him when I was 22 and he was 27, I thought I had hit gold. Do you know why? Because no woman ever turned his head. I knew he'd never cheat on me. I was right. Front of the hand, back of the hand.
So he just had very little sex drive, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's
love
not...
Love him madly. No, thank you.
Well, and that's the thing is it's not that I have a problem with a guy wanting my body because I want a man like I'm like you. That's a deal breaker. If you're not into my body and you're not attracted to me, then go away. Because I was in a relationship where we didn't have enough sex either for a similar reason. But that's I just worry if it's just one part of my body. That to me is a problem. Because then what if, you know, I mean, 20 years from now, I mean, breast cancer is very common. What if, you know, and they're going to get saggy. And so if that's what they want now and that's all they want, then I don't know. That just feels like a problem for me.
You might be overthinking it.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You would be overthinking it. And as they sag, he will love them too when they're saggy. And when they get bigger or less firm, you're still his shape. You're still sexy. He'll still love you. They know they're not, their bodies aren't staying any younger either. That happens when they accept the whole package. It's one of the great things about men is when they commit, they commit to the whole package. They're in.
All right. Well, that's...
We commit to package, but then we get to work on changing the parts we don't like.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have because Hans von Kloss just walked in the door. Hans von Kloss Misery Hour is coming up in just a moment here on CITR. So we have been speaking with Wendy Newman. Thank you so much for being on the show, Wendy. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And sorry, anybody I offended. Sorry.
I'm sure it's fine. So wendyspeaks.com is where you can find Wendy. And again, if you want to get in, if you are a single woman and you want to get in on the deal where you can bring a friend, the class is starting tomorrow. So that's January, what, 22nd? Is that tomorrow?
Yeah.
January 22nd, mm-hmm. 2015, if you want the deal. And if you're listening to this on podcast or on YouTube, you can you won't get the deal, but you can still sign up for the course, and it's Dating 101. All right. Thanks so much, Wendy, for being on the show.
Thanks, Marie. Thanks for having me.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. That was fun. All right. So I was filling in for Caroline. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Marie Bernard, and you can find me at spiritualshow.com. You can listen on Mondays at noon here on CITR for my show, Synchronicity. And I got to leave some space now for Hans von Kloss. So be well. Take care. Bye.
Canadian music icon Gordon Lightfoot calls Craig Cardiff a songwriter who needs to be heard.